So what do you see when you look in the mirror? What do you see when you look in the mirror? That is, when you look past the receding hairline and the expanding waistline, what do you see? Who do you see? Do you see someone who is honorable and upstanding, who is capable and reliable, enthusiastic and joyful? Someone who puts into practice the love of God and neighbor? Or do you see someone who is, well, maybe a little shady, weak and unsteady, hurting and needy, strikingly self-absorbed? Some of us would put ourselves in that second category, and our friends and family might just agree with us. But could it be that our eyesight is somehow off and that their judgment is faulty? That what we observe most directly in the mirror is not the truest thing that could be said about ourselves? Today's lesson reminds us that we are God's children. Now, when Scripture speaks of us as God's children, it doesn't make this claim lightly, as if it were some entitlement or birthright. The Apostle Paul argues that by nature, we willfully reject our Creator. That is, we've made ourselves enemies of God. But by the mercy of God, who sent His Son to save us, we have become God's children by God's choice. We are adopted into God's family. Now, this is a special claim God has made on our lives. It's not simply by nature that we have this special status, but because of the lavish generosity of God. Yet because this isn't always evident to us or evident to others, the writer of the epistle reminds us of this important truth. He affirms three things about our status as God's children. First, our relationship to God in Christ is certain. See what love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Our relationship to God in Christ is certain. Second, we are God's children, even if the world doesn't recognize it. And third, we are God's children now, even when it's not apparent, even before it's been fully revealed to the world. By the lavish generosity of God, we are God's children, which is a pretty incredible statement. But what's equally incredible as what is claimed about our identity is what is said about our destiny. We are to be made into the likeness of Christ. Listen to what the writer declares to us. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So whatever our current likeness or character, whether we are mean and petty, unthoughtful and unforgiving, our destiny, our ultimate destiny, is to be made into the likeness of Christ. Chew on that one for a while. This means that each one of us is destined to have such a trusting and obedient relationship with God that we could willingly suffer great indignities or accomplish great miracles. I mean, if you had faith like a mustard seed, if you had faith like Christ, this means also that each of us are destined to have such a love and compassion for others that we could pray for those enemies who hurt us or forgive friends who betray us. Think about how many transformed families there would be. So how is this transformation to happen? Well, it's not explained. We're simply told that when Christ appears, that when Christ appears, this will be accomplished. Now, we can maybe start to understand it but just a little bit by recognizing that when we see things, when we experience things, sometimes our life does change, right? You may not have realized how privileged you are till you took that city tour and saw all the ghettos, the favelas in Rio. All of a sudden, your worldview changes. You see that that passport really matters. You may not have appreciated being healthy. You may have taken it for granted till you caught pneumonia and had that extended stay in the hospital. You may have not known that healthy, committed relationships are, in fact, possible until you meet that kindly old couple who live in the house at the end of your street. Suddenly, you see something that you didn't know was even possible. Your world changes. Our writer doesn't explain how, but simply declares our destiny. When Christ appears, we shall be like him. For those of us who see all sorts of brokenness in our reflection, this declaration is pretty good news. It's especially good news when we realize that it won't be accomplished by our own efforts, but depends on the gracious work of God. In the words of the early church father Athanasius, Christ was made man that we might become God. We are to be made. We are to be worked upon into the likeness of Christ. Pretty good news. Well, what does this mean for us in the meantime, even as we wait for Christ's return? Well, we get prepared. That's what Scripture teaches us. We get prepared. As the passage asserts, all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Now, some might argue that if it is our destiny to be like Christ and God will accomplish it, we might just go and live as we please, right? Enjoy what we think will bring us satisfaction. But that's to misunderstand God's grace and to misunderstand our calling. As the adopted children of God, we now live not just for our pleasure, but for God's pleasure. Knowing that Christ is returning, we make preparations to honor him even now. I mean, imagine that you are traveling to a foreign country to meet your fiancé's parents. You're meeting them for the first time. You will take some time, make some effort to learn their native language in advance. Right? Or imagine that you have a job interview and will be meeting a prospective employer. You will do your best to make yourself look presentable. You will comb your hair, brush your teeth, put on some deodorant. You will do some research to gain familiarity with the business. But we aren't just meeting our fiancé's parents. We aren't just interviewing for a new job. We are getting ready to meet Jesus. And so we do all we can to get prepared. We will do all we can to love God and neighbor. We will do all we can to avoid the old habits of sin. Now, we know from last week's lesson that it would be a lie to say that we don't sin or that we've never sinned. And we know from last week's lesson that there is forgiveness when we confess our mistakes. But the truth of the matter is that our worlds have changed. We're singing a different song since we've been adopted as God's children. God's Spirit is now at work within us, and we cannot go back to the old ways of simply living as we please. That's why we are told that no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. It's about our orientation to life. And why would we go on living just as we please? I mean, God is working out his purposes for us even now, even as we await Christ's revelation. While the mirror still reflects much of our brokenness, the discerning eye, the world might not notice it, but the discerning eye can perceive some changes. Like that couple that spends their lives together and start looking like one another, we begin to resemble Christ even as we focus our living on him now. And by the way, that's true. They do start looking like each other. It's mimicking each other's facial expressions. There's just the ebb and flow of life between the two of them changes them, transforms each person, and so it is in our life with Christ. Now, I have a couple young ladies in my life. If you have any children in your life, children or grandchildren, you may sometimes catch themselves smiling at themselves in the mirror. Have you ever seen that? Yeah, making faces or striking poses, delighting in what they see. It's a wonder to observe them relishing their God-given bodies. And it's harrowing. It's harrowing to consider how what their growing self-consciousness and the pressures of the world will do to them in coming years, how it will distort that good vision that they once had of themselves. I wonder if we might all recapture the view that God has of each one of us. I wonder if we might learn to see past the receding hairline, the expanding waistline, past all the flaws of character, the meanness and pettiness and impatience that marks our lives, and see the deeper truth about ourselves, that we are God's beloved children, destined to be made into the likeness of Christ. As one commentator has noted, not me, may be experientially true, but it's theologically false. When we look into our hearts and ask, am I a child of God? We have to learn to start saying, not me, and instead learn to utter the deeper truth. Not yet complete, but yes, by the grace of God, I am. Well, may we start seeing ourselves with God's eyes, and may we start leaning into the world that God has for us. Amen and amen. I'm going to be taking that mirror after the benediction into the narthex. It says on it, I am a child of God. I want you to look in the mirror, and I want you to repeat that to yourself as you walk out, okay? Okay.